CPA After Dark.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to CPA After Dark. I am one of your hosts, Marit Bermude, CPA, EA, MSCTA. And I am here with my co-host, Kristen Graham, business owner, real estate investor. She does all kinds of different things. And today we are going to talk about a super fun topic, which is how the heck do I pay my kid out of my business? What does that entail? These kids are spoiled and, you know, they want me to pay for all these activities. And boy, would it be better if I could write it off as a business expense and have them pay for it themselves. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Especially as they get older and they get involved in anything and everything. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It Kristen, you've got is she a preteen? Is she a teen now?
She is. Yeah. She's 12. She's a preteen.
Preteens,
but
put them to work.
It's amazing because she can actually really do work for me, which is amazing. So amazing.
Right. So not only do we get them to pay for their own activities when we pay them out of our business, I love that. You're teaching her how to actually have a good work ethic, right? That's super important for our kids. If you own a business and you are killing it, you can easily just pay for all of your kids' things and they can live the life. But are you really doing them a disservice by not kind of teaching them how to work hard and work for the things that they want? I mean, everybody has different parenting styles, but we are two moms on this show. And I know from my own experience, you know, as a working parent, it's easy to feel guilty and just kind of give your kids a lot of the things that they want because you do work really hard and, you know, you're not there as you want to be. But I have seen it, you know, with other clients and other people, when you're not involving your kid in the business and you're not teaching them those life skills, it can actually, you know, come back to kind of make their life harder as they grow older. So I think that's another good reason why we got to figure this paying your kid out of your business thing.
Yeah. And like going off of that, it's kind of cool because my daughter's 12 and, you know, it's always like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like I want her brain going. And I think it's totally normal to ask your kid what they want to be when they grow up. And a few years ago, she wanted to be a vet. I want to be a vet mom. I'm like, okay, well, she loves animals. She'll collect. She's brought turtles in the house. Like she brought a bird to me upstairs. Like literally, like there was a hurt bird and she brought it to me upstairs. And I was like, oh my God, this is my kid. Like, so a vet made a lot of sense. And then after a couple of years, you know, you still ask, you know, do you still want to be a vet? She's like, no, I want to do what you do. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like I wear many, many hats. So what does that mean? She's like, I want to do the houses.
Nice.
And she's like, I want to do what you do with the houses. And I was like, so you want to be like a landlord? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I want to buy houses. I want people to live in them. She's like, I want to make money off of them. And I was like, I love that, but you don't have to go to college for that. So we actually have a plan for her. And so far it's, you know, it's probably about a year in. She's still like, this is what I want to do. So I let her help us out with different things. She does filing for me. And we sit down and talk about different issues. Like we are going through an eviction process right now. And she sits down and we go over some things. And when I need something, like a file, being that she's home from school, she runs and grabs it for me. And we go over and she sees the great things that we deal with. And then she sees the crap that we deal with too. So she's seeing all of it and it's not scaring her. So we're able to have these big girl conversations with her and involve her in, you know, real estate investments and stuff. And she's very interested in it. Yes, I talk to her when we talk about this stuff. I talk to her like she's a five-year-old because I want her to have a full grasp on it. But she's doing things for my business. She's working, she's listening, and she's learning. So if something happens to me, I'm pretty confident she's going to be pretty okay with taking over the family business.
Oh, I think that's so cool. I mean, I wish I had that when I was young. I did see my cousin. I watched her work really hard. So I have that work ethic of seeing her as a single mom, supporting all of us, really, you know, putting in those hours to make sure we had food on our plate. And I do think I learned a lot from watching my mother and her example. So it is true. You're setting those examples for your children of, you know, what kind of work ethic. But I guess, you know, it can still be lost because I really have seen well-off people who have worked really hard to get where they are and their kids don't see any of it, right? All right. They see is we have a lot of money and I get pretty much whatever I ask for and that's cool. So I love that. Even if you could give her everything in the world and, you know, not expose her to any of it, there's definitely benefits to teaching them those life skills. My seven-year-old, we also teach her. She's 8 now. How did that happen? But we're teaching all kinds of things too about books and, you know, running the finances of the business. So it's a different area, but she is a sponge and she knows how to work a computer. And boy, can she get in there in QuickBooks and she's already learning how to categorize and do these little transactions. Wow. And she knows, oh, this means this goes in meals and this means this goes here. So yeah, there's a lot that you can, you know, don't really underestimate your kids. They can do a lot more than you think, I think.
Yeah. And like you said, they are sponges at this young age. They really are sponges and they want your attention. They really do. And they don't care they don't care what kind of attention it is. They just want to be around you. So to involve them in the business and make it fun and a little bit entertaining, they just want to be around you. So remember that, like, it's not necessarily a hassle for them to, you know, do some filing. They're also sitting down with you, you know, they're asking questions, they're engaging with you. They're not sitting behind their cell phones. Like,
yeah.
That's gonna work.
And if they roll their eyes at you and say they don't want to do it, probably in 10 years, they're going to thank you that you made them.
Yeah. So yeah. One of the other tasks that Kylie has, and she is on a very specific schedule with, is we have the snake breeding business. And that is where like 90% of her hours come from. Like, filing is like little pieces here and there, but snake breeding, we have like 100 snakes and she's helping feed them, give them water, clean the tanks. Like all the things that Chris has to do, this was her idea, this business. So she has to do it with him. And she sees her paycheck come in, and we're going to get into all those details, but she physically sees her paycheck come in and we go and we deposit it in the bank. And we just went on a shopping trip for summer clothes. And Moritz said, like, all the activities, my daughter pays for her summer clothes. So when I got home from the mall, my husband said, what did you guys spend today? And I said, I spent nothing. And he looked at me, not even thinking. And he's like, well, I don't believe that for a second. Meanwhile, my daughter's walking in with all these shopping bags because she wants to carry all of them herself. She thinks she's so cool. And I said, no. I was like, every time I gave Kylie her card and she handed it to the girl and or put it in the machine and she bought her stuff with her card, which is attached to her bank account, which is fed money from her paycheck, which comes from my S Corp to my family management company to my daughter. So let's get into those details because I think that is why people are here.
Yeah. And I can break that down really easy for you in terms of how you need to actually pay your children. And so let's just get right into it and everyone listen up. So if you have a business that is just a Schedule C or an LLC, but it's just you and you have not made the S election, and if what I just said with making the S election, you don't know what I'm talking about, go back, watch our video about the S Corp and when you should make the S election. That explains all of that. But let's say you have and you're caught up. So if you have not made the S election in your business and it's either just you or it's just you and your spouse, then you can pay your child from your business. And if they are under the age of 18, you do not have to pay FICA, which is the Medicare and the Social Security taxes on their wages. They don't have to pay it. You don't have to pay it because they're under 18 and they are in a family-owned business. So that's your first little rule of thumb. That's the easiest. It's either just you or it's just you and your spouse. Now, if it's a partnership and anyone else is a partner, even if it's a 1% partner and it's a grandma, this FICA exemption is out the door. So without going into too much detail, there's that. So if you have this Schedule C and let's say it's just you, just pay your child market as, you know, contract labor or other expense, not as wages, but, you know, put it in the other expense line or contract labor. And, you know, you can do the W-2 and all of that and you're set. However, the reason why we talk about paying children in, you know, a specific episode is because there is that little FICA exemption if you're a sole proprietor or a married partnership where they don't have to pay FICA taxes. So if you're paying them under the standard deduction and, you know, you don't have to pay any FICA taxes, then on the federal level, they're not going to pay any taxes. So you're basically just income shifting. You're taking the money that you would have paid taxes on in your business. You're shifting it over to them. They don't pay any taxes at the federal level. And then they can pay for their own stuff. So it's amazing, right? When you think about it that way. Yeah. I'm not going to state stuff into this because states do have different levels and limitations, you know. We're going to keep state out of it and keep it just with the IRS today for simplicity's sake. But that's really the benefit. I mean, it feels nice, right? When you know that she's paid for her summer clothes and it's money that you would have paid taxes on, but you earned it. You didn't pay any taxes on it. You actually got to take it as a business deduction. And now she's using it to buy summer clothes. That is the best. Right?
We love that is, that. I mean, that's an American dream if I ever heard one.
And because she's under 18, you know, if this was a sole proprietorship and just you, then she could do it that way. But you have an S corp. So now we go into one of the funny little S corp nuances. It's another little specialty, which is why you need a tax advisor when you are implementing an S corp strategy. The IRS says, well, no, now that you're operating as basically like a hybrid corporation, no, now if you want to pay this child out of the S corp, then she's an employee just like you, and you need to withhold that FICA from her. We don't care. Doesn't matter her age. So right. This is where the family management company comes in that Kristen was mentioning. So if she's got her S corp, and then Chris, he obviously, you know, is managing Kylie. He's kind of doing his own thing over here. He can open up this family management company where Kylie is working for him. And now we have that structure that I just talked about where you have a sole proprietorship with one parent and one child. And so Kristen can hire his management company to give her services, and then she can pay the management company. The management company will pay Kylie. Kylie will buy her own things. So hopefully that simplifies it enough. You just need separation of the entities in order to utilize the strategy.
Yeah. So. And I know you've said it before, but this is where when you get into like this, the S corp situation, you definitely want to have a tax advisor because they're going to help make sure that you do this correctly. Because if you start paying them right out of your S corp, you're going to have a way bigger problem and it's not going to be worth it. So make sure you look into a tax advisor and make sure that you're doing this the way you're supposed to do it. Because if you don't use the family management company and you have filed the S election, it's going to get really messy. So that's kind of where we say like the S corp can cost you a little bit of money up front, but you do end up saving a lot of money in the long run. So this is one of those ways.
Yeah, it can get messy, especially if you don't understand the rules. And so you're just saying, well, I'm just paying my child and you're taking this deduction. You know, you could technically, you could pay Kylie out of your S corp. We're leaving late child labor laws out of it and state laws and all of that. But let's say you didn't want to do the family management company. You could pay her out of the S corp, put her on payroll, give her the W-2, the whole thing. You would just have to pay the self-employment taxes for her. And depending on what so that's just basically kind of, I think, where people get confused is they think they can't pay their child out of their S corp. You really actually can. It's just, why would you if there's a way where you can save more money? Right? That's kind of the thing behind doing the family management company. It is an extra step that you can implement to save yourself that money on taxes. But let's say you have a child that's over 18. So now it doesn't matter whether you pay them out of your S corp or you pay them out of your Schedule C business, because now they are subject to FICA. A lot of people, again, say, Well, what's the point? Well, there's lots of points because they're still going to most likely, if they're 18 or 19 or whatever, they're going to be in a lower bracket than you for taxes, right? So we still can utilize this income shifting strategy, even if your child is over the age of 18, because your tax bracket is going to be a lot higher than theirs. So still pay right. them. If they have to pay a little FICA on it and they have to file a little tax return on it, pay them. And if you're really concerned about it, gift them the money. You can gift up to $17,000 a year. You know, it's like gift them a little bit to have them cover the taxes. It's okay. You can do it in many various ways. We're just kind of giving you all of the options of different ways you can pay your child through your business.
Yeah. And then there is one very beautiful thing that we implemented maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago for my daughter, is because she has earned income. What can we do with earned income, guys? We're talking about, you know, all these tax strategies. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, wealth building and saving here. Roth IRA, right? Earned income. Why not teach them now? So we started a Roth IRA for our daughter a couple of years ago, and it is growing, which is so amazing. And it's all, you know, it's her money, it's her earned income, and it's going into her savings for her future. So, I mean, that's a huge win. And she is going to, you think your kids thank you now for putting them on the books? Wait until they get older. They're going to always remember you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what Kristen is talking about, in technical terms, if you want to look it up, it's called a custodial Roth. So the parent can open the custodial Roth for the child. And she's right. All they need to do is show that they have earned income, and then they can contribute either up to the amount that they made for the year or up to the limitation, which I think is $7,000 in 2024. So she's right. You can show that they have earned income, put it into their Roth, and then have those investments actually build. And, you know, I really think it's important to understand that when we're making money and we're saving money on taxes, Kristen just mentioned wealth building. I love that you brought that up, because the wealth building is a huge part to this whole entire financial game that you're playing, right? You know, you can bring in your earned income and it's good to increase those streams and pay less taxes. You really want your money to start working for you as well, right? You want your money to start earning more money for you. So that's an additional part of paying the child strategy that I think is just absolutely fabulous that you do that for your daughter. And, you know, if you actually open up a Roth where you can self-direct the investments, I know someone who has a Roth for their child and they're just buying crypto in there. They're just buying Bitcoin within the Roth. So you can actually choose with that Roth money what you want to invest in. And so, you know, I think a lot of people hear about retirement accounts and they're so stuck in this traditional investing way. And I mean, I know I was for a long time before I learned about self-directing, just thinking, what's the point of even putting it in the stock market? I'm not a big stock market, and it loses and it's up and it's down, and I'm not a stock market professional, and I didn't like it. Once you start learning about self-directing your retirement, then you realize there really is opportunities to make your money work for you even more, and something that you're actually interested in and that you understand. So
yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we definitely want to always focus on wealth building. I actually just finished a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. Have you heard of that?
No.
Excellent book. And if anybody wants to learn, it's kind of in old timey language, but it really does talk a lot about wealth building strategies and how, you know, you can really start to build your portfolio and build your profits. Got some good foundational concepts in there. And that's one they talk about a lot, is that investing and having your coins work for you. Your coins work for you, and then you don't spend those coins, because those are the children, and the children of your coins will work for you to earn you more coins. And so that's how you actually get your money to start working for you, so that eventually you can focus more on things you love.
I love that.
I love it too. Great book. Everyone should read it or listen to it on Audible.
I like that. but yeah, so do we have anything else on paying your kids?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that I kind of broke it down in terms of, where the FICA lands and kind of broke down some of the
ifs. No, I think you did.
Yeah, because I think some people either think they can't do it through an S corp, or they don't understand it has to be 100% parent-owned business to avoid the FICA. I did mention that there are some state considerations that you really want to take into account. You know, states have different standard deduction levels. You might think that you're paying them under the standard for the federal. You could look at the state, and some states have a zero standard deduction.
Right.
Was working with one client who had children in Washington, and they wanted to pay their kids and their business in Washington. But the labor laws in Washington for employing your children are very strict and very detailed. And so, yeah, it was like there was a lot of stuff in there, and, you know, farm exceptions if you were a family-owned farm and things like that. So I would say, as a final tip before we close out, you're going to see a lot of this paying your kids stuff online, and they are never going to talk about state considerations, but it's very important for you when you're utilizing this strategy to just stop and ask your tax advisor, if I want to pay my kids, what does the state I live in require? You know, what are their standard deduction? Do they have any specific labor laws to me? And make sure you know, because it could blow up your spot before you even get started. So
I think for sure.
So,
yeah, no, that was like the perfect way to end it too, with the, to look at your states as well, because that's not the federal, unfortunately, it's not the end all be all. States are really important to take a look at as well. But I hope you guys like this video. This is one of my absolute favorite topics. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. Paying your kids is just such a wonderful tax strategy, and that's what this is. This is a tax strategy. And if you do it right and you get your kids involved in your business, you're literally setting them up for success in the future, especially as they start to get into that preteen age when they're sponges and they love it and they're just absorbing all the knowledge and they're actually interested in it. So it's kind of neat. So hope you guys like this episode of CPA After Dark. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel for more tax strategies, and we'll see you guys on the next one.